Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Valley Views. I'm Bob Richards, back at it here for a special edition of Valley Views because today we're going to be focusing on the Cinco de Mayo festival that has happened for the past
four years.
Wow. And we're moving right along. And this year, Cinco de Mayo falls on a Sunday, but the celebration's going to be on a Saturday. And here to tell us why that makes sense is Adam Locke. He's the president of the Optimistics Group, and Roy Aiken, who is the secretary. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you having us.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. So let's start right out with the date and the reason it's on Saturday and not Sunday, and then we'll get into everything about the festival.
Historically, we have hosted this event on Cinco de Mayo, but this year it does fall on a Sunday. We draw a heavy Hispanic population to this, obviously,
right, for
the event.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, it's church in the morning and family time in the afternoon, which totally makes sense. So we're going to have it on Saturday this year instead. It also separates us, too, from Alamosa Cinco de Mayo, which is usually on Friday afternoon and evening. So people actually will have a chance to celebrate twice in the San Luis Valley if they want to this year.
And really, three times if you celebrate at home on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the official Cinco de Mayo rehearsal party is on for Monta Vista. And for folks who maybe weren't here or aren't aware, let's start with the history and the why about this festival. I've been lucky enough to be involved with you guys from the first festival, and it's really grown since then. So let's talk about that a little bit, the history of the event.
In a nutshell, the whole event is designed to be a street festival, and the intent is to bring people downtown to see our downtown district. You know, it's grown a lot. Most of the buildings have occupants now. There are retail and other businesses in there.
What a novel concept.
Yeah.
Buildings with occupants.
It's great. So,
yeah,
let's bring people down. And I heard this last year several times. You know, I didn't know Monta Vista had this business downtown.
Right.
Well, now you do. That was the point.
Yeah.
A lot of the businesses have noticed, too, over the past, again, this is the fourth year we're actually doing this, that they're getting residual business after the fact. People will come in and go, you know, I didn't know you were here, but now I do. And they're coming in and shopping at the stores.
Yeah.
Love it. That's what it's about.
All right. All right, so the festival itself is a conglomeration of a lot of mini events all under the umbrella of one event. What's the footprint of this event?
The 100 block of Adams Street, 2nd Avenue going west to the alleyway, 2nd Avenue going east all the way to the bowling alley, and the bowling alley parking lot is where the car show will be hosted this year.
And is that bigger than previous years?
It is.
Okay. Seems like it is. So the bigger footprint is going to create an opportunity for you to do things differently. What would that look like?
We're adding some new things this year. We're having a Chihuahua and small breed dog races.
That'll
be taking place at noon over in front of the Pivot Public House.
Okay.
At 11, there's a canine costume contest. Of course, Cinco de Mayo oriented. That's happening here on Adams Street. We're adding cornhole this year. Again, as I mentioned, the car show is going to be hosted over in the parking lot of Stars and Strikes Bowling Alley. So yeah, there's more room to do more things this year.
Yeah, understood. And Roy, I've noticed you in past years walking around with your megaphone or private PA, for lack of a better term. You do a great job informing folks what's going on. And now you're going to have to cover more of a geographic area than you have before. Tell me what your day looks like on the 4th of May this year.
Well, I'm going to be abandoning the cowboy boots and wearing more sensible shoes.
Good for you. Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's great because sun coming down all day. I'll be wearing my big, broad cowboy hat, walking around. What I really like to do is I like to get in front of some of the individual businesses on Adams Street, and I like to cheerlead them along. Last year, we had a business open on our Cinco de Mayo celebration.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a lot of fun getting that going. The car show at the bowling alley is going to take our footprint all the way down to Madison.
Yeah, I think it's great.
So,
and the fact that it is on a weekend day is certainly going to help, specifically on Saturday this year. So that'll be good. And Adam, I think we're missing perhaps one of the most important elements of the festival, alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Colorado Farm Brew will be here. And, of course, there are a couple of other local establishments here who have alcohol offered. Obviously, they can't take it outside of the establishment, but as far as the beer being offered for the festival, yeah, the entire festival area is beer-friendly again this year.
Right, and was last year the first year that people were able to take the beer outside of a designated fenced area?
Correct, yes.
I remember on last year's program, we were having a conversation about the positives and potential negatives of that. But everybody I've talked to has given a great report card on how that went. What would you tell us about that and the fact that we're still able to do that again this year?
It was an experiment with the city last year. It was their idea to try this, and we said, well, sure, we'll be the guinea pig. Why not?
Yeah.
And it seemed to go very well. This has also now, of course, spilled over to events happening in Chapman Park. The same thing now. The entire park area can be designated the festival area and be alcohol-friendly as opposed to just a fenced-in small area.
Right. So in order to keep that going for future years, what message do you want to give folks who may be listening about what not to do?
Please abide by the signs. There will be barriers up and no alcohol beyond this point. We ask people, just please respect that. And obviously, no underage drinking either. Please don't give your beer to kids.
Right. And there will be some folks out there keeping an eye on all of that, correct?
Absolutely, there will.
And that was one of the things last year that I recall was the security wasn't overbearing, but there was enough security to sort of make sure everybody was playing by the rules, and I think that that's an important aspect.
We will have security on site again this year, not just our local police department, but we have hired High Point Security out of Del Norte.
Right.
And I would like to say real quick that they're sponsored by Rock Creek Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. We appreciate their covering the cost of that. It's comforting to have people on site who are professionals and know what they're doing and watching over the entire festival.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned one of the sponsors. Let's give them their due and talk about who you've got and what they're sponsoring this year.
The Lohr Foundation once again has stepped up. We really appreciate Yvette and everything that they do for Monta Vista. They're covering all of our entertainment this year, which includes the Uzz Band out of Taos, New Mexico. They'll be playing from 3 until 6 p.m. center stage.
We have Stars and Strikes, and they're covering the car show, which is a tremendous help for us.
Yes, yes, it really is. Again, the Pivot Public House sponsoring the Chihuahua and Small Breed Dog Races. Muddy Paws Doggy Wash, they're sponsoring the Canine Costume Contest. Colorado Farm Bureau Insurance covered our insurance this year. And, of course, a lot of staple organizations and businesses who consistently sponsor a lot of events around here, including the Monta Vista Co-op, Santa Luis Valley REC and Cielo, RG Bank, Waste Management, Rocky Mountain Memorabilia, the City of Monta Vista, including the Police Department and Public Works and the Rec Department. They're always on board and very helpful, so we appreciate everything that they do. And, of course, you here, Bob, 96.5 The Fox FM. Thank you for your coverage.
Yeah, happy to. And you mentioned something in there that caught my ear a little bit, and that was Chihuahua dog races?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
It's something that we really weren't aware of. Justin DeForest, one of the owners of the Pivot Public House, came to one of our meetings earlier this year and said, have you guys considered this? We went away and looked, and by golly, it's actually a thing. I mean, even up in Denver, at their Cinco de Mayo, they do these Chihuahua and small breed dog races.
Okay.
So it's a $15 entry fee to be in the race. Dogs 12 pounds and under may participate. There will be a guideway, a runway, with AstroTurf or something down so the little dogs don't burn their feet on the pavement. And the proceeds from that are actually going to be donated to Connor Animal Shelter this year.
Oh, great.
And they're super excited about all of this as well.
I bet. That's outstanding. And Roy, there are a number of businesses that are always on Adams Street that are going to be doing special things for the Cinco de Mayo Festival. What would you tell me about that?
Rain Bros will be open at noon, and they'll be offering drink specials throughout the day. Yours and Mine Variety Store, also known as Daisy Grake's Boutique, will be offering store sale specials through the day, and they'll also be hosting the Canine Costume Contest at 11 a.m. in front of their store. The Valley 3 Theater is scheduled to be open and offer popcorn and concessions for sale. Bobalicious Coffee will be open all day on Saturday. So everybody can stop in, try some of their delicious, freshly roasted and specially sourced coffee. It'll at least not hurt for coffee throughout the day. Conveniently located inside the Valley 3 Theater, I should add. Not only will Get Crafty be offering store specials, but they'll be celebrating their retail store one-year anniversary. So stop in to say congratulations to Michelle and browse their wide selection of craft products. They moved into the old hardware store, and they've got lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah, I was walking by there the other day, and you've done a real good job converting that place, and you'd never know it was a hardware store just a few months ago.
And she's continually adding to it as well. And she was a really good supporter. She found herself right in the middle of a Cinco de Mayo celebration, opening her store last year, and she's excited to do it again.
Yeah, that's great. All right, so we mentioned the theater being open. The theater is also going to be hosting some cultural talks. What would you tell me about that, Adam?
Well, from 2 to 3 p.m.-ish, there are going to be a series of four different 10 to 12-minute cultural talks about our Hispanic community here, about Cinco de Mayo, and just kind of bringing this all home to give people an opportunity to better understand our community here and the interesting mix that we have.
Yeah. So does the festival create proceeds? And if so, where do they go?
It actually does. It's taken a few years to get to this point where we actually have the sponsorship to cover all the costs to host an event like this. And it's not exactly cheap. You know, the band has to be paid. There are the services that we have to take care of. But yes, this year we're in a really good point. And the proceeds from the event will be donated to the Monte Vista Emergency Food Bank this
Excellent.
Year.
That's great.
So we're real excited to be able to do that for them.
Yeah, for sure. And how do the vendors look? And are you still taking applications for folks who may be listening to this and want to be a part of it?
We are full up on food vendors. We wanted to keep that to a limit this year of 10 total. That way there's not a lot of competition between them. And we do have a very good variety of food vendors this year. But yes, we are still accepting craft vendors. We actually have been able to create a spillover area. You know, we anticipate Adams Street itself being full of vendors, and we can accommodate a total of 50 craft vendors this year. We wanted to create a little bit of space, too. It's an issue we ran into last year. So every four or five booths, we're going to have a break between the craft vendors so people can also access our brick-and-mortar stores here.
Got it.
But if we exceed that, we've got a spillover area that we'd be able to accommodate even more vendors, so there really isn't a limit on craft vendors this year.
Yeah. And your group, the Optimistics, is the group, obviously, that has been putting this on and will put it on again this year.
Yes.
And let's talk just a little bit about the group and whether or not you are needing volunteers to help pull the Cinco de Mayo Festival off.
We always welcome volunteers, Bob. Yeah, there's a lot of things to do and a lot of moving parts. You know, I joke every year about I'm a bee up and down the street all day long, making sure everything is running smoothly. But yes, we absolutely would love to have help and would certainly welcome that. We meet on the first and third Mondays of every month at 6 p.m. in the basement of the Carnegie Public Library here on Jefferson Street. And certainly welcome anybody. Keep in mind, we are a registered 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we're basically committed to the revitalization of Monte Vista in whatever way that we can. We'd like to help out. And this, we feel, is one of those ways by bringing people to our downtown district.
Well, it's a great festival. I'm looking forward to it again this year. Anything else folks need to know about this year's festival? Maybe we recap the who, what, when, where, and why one more time for folks.
Well, it's our biggest and best yet. This is the first time we've had dog costume contest, dog race. We've actually capped out on our food vendors, and we've got a different footprint now. The way we're going down to 2nd Avenue, I think it's going to add another dimension to it. People will be discovering new places up and down there.
Sure. Fun for the whole family and alcohol for the parents. Mm-hmm. How can you go wrong?
Well, a lot of local favorites, too. You know, Smokey Bear is going to be here, and it's just so much fun to watch every year. The kids running up and giving them a great big hug.
Yeah.
Our local amateur radio group is supposed to be here again this year. They'll be talking to other ham radio operators around the country about what we're doing. The car drive-through Home Lake at 2 o'clock. Our local veterans love to see these vehicles driving through. It's just a lot of neat staples that we've been able to do over the past years will be happening again this year.
And cultural talks.
Cultural talks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Adam, one more time, let's just give the specific information about the festival that's coming up next weekend.
Saturday, May 4th, downtown Monte Vista. Festival opens at 10 a.m. It closes at 6 p.m. There's a lot of information on our website, optimistics.org. You can click on the banner right there on the homepage, and it'll show you everything that's going on, has the festival area layout, the schedule of events throughout the day, how people can register if they're still interested in being a vendor. Again, just a wealth of information on what's going on.
Gentlemen, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for being here. And moreover, on behalf of the community, thank you for what the Optimistics do. And thank you for putting on the festival again this year. I think it's an important thing for the community, and hopefully it can continue in perpetuity.
Well, we certainly appreciate your support too, Bob.
Right.
Shout out to you.
We should live so long.
Yes, exactly. Guys, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
And that's another edition of Valley Views.